And I invite you to grab the Pew Bible from in front of you if you would like, or you can flip open to the cover of your bulletin for our scripture reading today. We are reading from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 12, verses 12 through 26, as we continue our fall series, The Body Dynamic. The Apostle Paul, writing to the saints in Corinth, says this: "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greatest honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with even greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Indeed. Well, like I said, this morning we are continuing our fall series, The Body Dynamic. God has called each of us to be in community together, and that community is called the body of Christ. It's called the church. But because we're people, sometimes it can be hard to be in community together. And yet, the church has been God's chosen means of reaching the world with the gospel, frankly, in spite of our struggles to get along with each other. So far, over the course of this series, we've seen that in community we are to reflect the light and life of the Trinity, and that just as the Trinity is one, so we are to be one body as well. In our scripture passage this morning, Paul takes the metaphor of the body of Christ and explores it in a much more literal fashion by talking about literally a physical body. Now, even though the body is one united whole, it is composed of an incredible diversity of parts, each one of which is essential and necessary. And as we look more closely at how this works for the church this morning, we will see that in the diversity of the body of Christ, we find a unity that glorifies God. Now, in our reading from last week, from Ephesians 4, Paul exhorted us to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. You see, what defines us as a community is the fact that it is the same Holy Spirit that has entered all of our hearts. It is the same Lord Jesus Christ who sacrificed himself for us all equally. And it is the same God that is the Father of all of us. Now, as we've said, one of the primary and most common metaphors used in Scripture to describe the church is that of the body of Christ. And Paul takes that metaphor quite literally and uses it as an analogy to help us understand that even within the unity of the body of Christ, there is and must be an incredible diversity. Paul opens his passage by writing, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many." Paul once again stresses our unity around one baptism in one Spirit into one body. It doesn't matter what our background is. It doesn't matter your personal history. It's the same Spirit bringing us together into one body. But Paul also moves the discussion forward by pointing out that even in the human body, which is one united whole, it is made up of many different parts. Paul then goes on to elaborate on this analogy by making two important and also related points. First, he talks about the necessity of diversity within the body. And second, he talks about the mutual dependence of the parts of the body. Now, some people have told me over the years as I've been a minister that they just don't like to read the Bible very much because they find it very dry and boring. But the reality is that there is an incredible amount of humor in the Bible. We just miss it because, well, frankly, it literally gets lost in translation. There's the great story in the book of Judges of the king who was killed while he was sitting on the toilet in the bathroom. It's a fantastic story to use with middle school boys. There's the story of David's son Absalom, a man who was so proud of his long flowing locks. The Bible says he had 18 pounds of hair. That's how you know. Who ended up dying because literally his long flowing locks got tangled in a tree branch and it yanked him off his horse. There's Jesus teaching in the Sermon on the Mount when he somewhat rhetorically, actually quite rhetorically, asks, "If your son asked you for bread, would you give him a stone? Or if he asked you for fish, would you give him a snake?" Guys, that's comedic gold right there. Nobody laughed. Come on, that's hilarious. It's supposed to be. And then in the book of Acts, there's Luke's wonderfully subtle commentary on Paul's tendency to preach for extended periods of time in Acts 20 when poor Eutychus falls asleep. Luke says, as Paul talked on and on and on and ended up falling out of a window because of it. Don't worry, the story ends happily. Paul then raised him from the dead. Awkwardly. And our reading today is another example of some of the incredible wit that is recorded in history. Surely you caught it when we read the passage before, right? No. Okay. Well, let me see if I can help this out. To make clear his point about the necessity of the diversity of the body of Christ, Paul personifies literal parts of our bodies. He talks about feet and ears. It is an obviously ridiculous point to make. Of course, feet and ears are important parts of our bodies, even though they're not hands and eyes, respectively. But it's the very ridiculous nature of the analogy that drives home the point, which Paul makes explicit in verse 17. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? By making this way, Paul is making, in one quick shot, several points for us. Now, the first thing he says is that all of the different parts of the body of Christ are necessary. Now, our tendency is not to understand why others don't share our passion for something. As a pastor, I regularly have conversations with folks who think that the primary and therefore the only concern of the church should be worship or discipleship. Or the only thing we should focus on is the persecuted church. The most important thing in the church today is the pro-life movement. That's it. That's the only thing that matters. Caring for refugees is where we need to be focused. No, our focus needs to be on outreach. That's what we, not outreach, it's missions that we have, not missions, it's pastoral care. That's all we need to be doing. Healing ministry is, it's all about the children. Children's ministry, because if we don't have children, we have no future. We have to do youth ministry. Well, actually, what I mean is family ministry is the most important thing. We you get the point? We could keep going on with all of the different things. The truth is that none of these should be the sole focus of the church. The only sole focus for the church is Jesus Christ. All of these other things should be an expression of our focus on Jesus Christ. And please don't get me wrong, all of those things that I just mentioned are very important and they do need attention. And that, brothers and sisters, is why we have a diverse body of people with different gifts, different passions, different experiences, and different abilities. We can't all do everything, nor can we all be passionate about the same things. We need different gifts and abilities and passions to truly be the body of Christ, which leads us to the next point. Secondly, no part of the body is less important than any other. Some ministries of the church and people, frankly, do get more attention than others. For example, some people in this church probably know a lot more about our worship ministry than perhaps what happens at our circles when they meet on Tuesday evenings. Or perhaps the hours that our property team takes in caring for our facility and keeping this church running as well as it does, or the hours our staff put in each week taking care of some of the more mundane aspects of keeping a church running. The tendency is to begin to think that because of that lack of attention, we don't matter as much, or that our ministry isn't as important, which then leads us to the third point. Thirdly, and perhaps most importantly, each member of the body of Christ is here by divine placement. Paul says this explicitly in verse 18. But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. You, brothers and sisters, have a place arranged and designed by God that only you can fill. God the Father, through the headship of Jesus Christ in the presence of the Holy Spirit, has gathered this particular group of believers together to make up this particular expression of his body. Each one of you have been brought here by God, because he has a place for you here. Don't miss this. You have been brought here by God because there is something that only you can do in service to him and his kingdom through this church. Now, I know that so many of us struggle with purpose and direction, wondering if we really matter or if we can really make a difference. Brothers and sisters, God put you here. God put you here. Now, if you don't know why, well, let's talk about it. I would love to have that conversation with you. We as a community cannot be all that God intends for us if each one of us are not doing all that God created us to do individually. As many of you know, we are in that process of discerning, of looking for those who God is calling to serve as elder this next year, beginning in 2020. And many of you have been contacted by our nominating committee and are prayerfully considering if that might be you. And some of you might have received that call and it might have scared you half to death. But I would encourage you to spend some time in intentional prayer asking if maybe God isn't calling you to step forward for just such a time as this in a new and different way than maybe you've ever served in the church before. Maybe you don't feel qualified. That's okay. God, as many of you have probably heard before, doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. So please, be a careful, prayerful consideration for that. And if it's something you're wondering if God is calling you to do and you don't know, let's have that conversation too. I'd love to have that conversation with you. So, Paul is telling us that the body of Christ is, by necessity, made up of a diversity of members. But Paul doesn't want us to forget that all of these parts are all mutually dependent upon each other. So he continues his analogy in verse 21. Previously, the parts of the body didn't think that they had a place. This time, the parts of the body don't think that they need any other part. The eye doesn't think it needs the hand. The head doesn't think it needs the feet. Again, Paul is being intentionally and obviously preposterous by saying this. No one part of our body can function apart from the others. And yet, the point needs to be made because we in the church so often think that we can. Paul makes his point here through a series of analogies, not allegories, that highlight parts of our bodies that seem or appear weaker, but are just as crucial. The point being that regardless of appearance, all parts of the body are necessary. Now, Paul isn't talking about the gifts of the Spirit in this passage. He's talking about the people that make up the church. No one person is more important than another. No one is less important than another. Echoing verse 18, in verse 24, we are reminded that God has combined the body exactly the way He wants it to be. Why? So that, as we read in verse 25, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. You see, brothers and sisters, it is my belief that one of the greatest threats to the health and vitality of the community of faith is jealousy. I know a few things that can rip a group apart faster and more thoroughly than being jealous of others. Jealous of their role, of their gifts, of their perceived power, of the praise or credit that they get, or who knows what it might be. Our ability to be creatively inventive in being jealous of others truly knows no bounds. And brothers and sisters, once a spirit of jealousy sets in, it is incredibly difficult to root out. And it can be so subtle and insidious as well. Once we start thinking that others shouldn't matter as much as we do, or that others aren't as important, or that we don't need them, well, brothers and sisters, frankly, the seeds of division have already been sown. Paul wants to make sure we don't forget that God is the one who has combined the body of believers, that we are all mutually dependent on one another, and that we should have equal concern for one another. How does this look? Well, verse 26 makes it plain. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. One of the things that I have particularly loved about being a part of this church, this session, is how well the elders live this passage out. While we all have our particular roles and responsibilities, we very much have equal concern for each other. We want to see each other be the best that we can be for the kingdom of God. If any member of the session needs help, we are all more than willing to set aside what we're doing in order to chip in to help that elder out in what they need. When one of us is struggling, whether professionally or personally, we come alongside that person in care and support, and we rejoice to see each other honored and celebrated. Is our session perfect? No. No, because we're human. We make mistakes. We step on each other's toes at times. But because of our love and support for each other, we're able to work through those moments because we truly do not want there to be any division in the session or in the body of Christ. Just as it is for our physical bodies, so should it be for the body of Christ. When I twist my ankle, my entire body reacts to compensate. I visited with somebody just last week who was having severe hip pain. Well, the other hip had gone bad, and they had to have surgery on that. But while they waited for that surgery and compensating, the other hip went bad twice as fast as it should have. And now that one has to be worked on as well. That's the way our bodies work. When one part surface suffers, every other part compensates for it, suffers with it. In those rare moments when I hit health and balance in my body, frankly, I feel it in every corner of my being. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. You know, we are usually pretty good about supporting one another when we're struggling or when we're hurting. One thing I've noticed that, frankly, every church can work on is celebrating, rejoicing, honoring the work and accomplishments of our members. As Paul said in this passage twice, God has arranged and composed this body of Christ, placing each of you exactly where he wants for you to grow, thrive, and experience more and better life than you've ever dreamed of. So when we do grow and thrive, why wouldn't we celebrate that? Who doesn't want to be told, thank you, we appreciate you and value you and how God made you? Who doesn't like a party? You know what's funny? There's a lot of people who don't like a party. There's a lot of people who don't want to have a fuss made over them. But you know what? You need to let the body make a fuss over you. Because sometimes that fuss isn't actually about you. It's about the body of Christ. It's our need to celebrate one another. And you know what? Whether you like being the center of attention or not, it's okay for other people to tell you they think you're awesome. And it's good. And it's healthy. So we're going to throw parties for y'all when you do great things. And if you don't like to have a fuss thrown about you, suck it up. We're going to do it anyway. And if you're going to try to run away and hide, we're just not going to tell you when we're going to do it. So there. Okay? Because we need to celebrate each other. Brothers and sisters, the repeated refrain throughout today's text is, there is one body with many parts. Both of these truths, that we are one united body, and the diversity of parts that make up that body, are hard for us to live out. But we're not unique in that. The church has been struggling to figure out how to be one body of many parts for thousands of years. Sometimes we get it right. Frankly, most of the time we don't. And that's okay. As long as we are continuing to seek Christ first and foremost in our individual lives and as a community together. May God bless each one of us as we seek to find a unity that glorifies God in the beautiful, wonderful, messy diversity of the body of Christ. Amen.